big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. A new week begins on FFC, reacting to what we saw week number 5 in the NFL Sunday slate. Weekend number 6 of the college football season, already at its halfway point, setting the stage for the final game of week number 5 in the NFL as well. A Monday night in Viva Las Vegas between the Raiders and the Packers. Lisi guy, hope you had a great weekend. It's Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin, and myself, Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, how was the football weekend for you, my friend?
Fantastic. I mean, it started in terms of Dallas with that unbelievable game in terms of Oklahoma and Texas. Oof. 34-30. We saw a second half thriller and comeback by LSU on the college side. And in the NFL, Ben, I'll tell you what, you know, there is a changing of the guard. We saw both the 49ers and Eagles step up, win both of their games respectively. But in the AFC, Buffalo gets knocked around by Jacksonville. And where are the New England Patriots? Get absolutely shut out by the New Orleans Saints. I said it all day, all week, all year about Bill Belichick. The time is passed him by. He's on the downside.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. We're seeing that right now. The offense stagnant for New England. They are the worst scoring offense in the NFL at this moment, currently only averaging 11 points per game. They've scored just 16 in their last 3 weeks in total. Shut out by the Saints on Sunday in Foxborough. New England losing 34-0. New Orleans winning outright as a slight 1.5-point favorite. But, Joe, I think the story as we get going here, and as we welcome in our Sirius XM audience, channel 159 here to Sports Grid Radio and Football Full Circle, we break down the game last night in Santa Clara between the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. A Sunday night football game, Joe, filled with anticipation because it was an NFC rivalry of old between two teams that have played each other in the postseason each of the past 2 years. The 49ers ending the season for the Cowboys each time. Joe, it was a game that featured a 3.5-point spread, an over-under of 45. We thought it would be good. We thought it would be competitive. Two of the most dominant and impressive teams so far. But Joe, emerging out of Sunday night, I think it is inarguable at this point. The best team so far this NFL season, Joe, none other than the San Francisco 49ers, lambasting the Cowboys on Sunday night in Santa Clara, 42-10, easily covering as a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, if this was the title fight, Ben, it would have been over in the first round. They jumped up early, never looked back, and they forced turnovers against Dak Prescott. We talked about it on Pro Football Today that in order for Dallas to win this ball game, their star quarterback needed to step up. He only throws for 153 yards, 3 interceptions. And on the flip side, you have a player in Brock Purdy that just all he does is win. He plays clean with the football, a 4-touchdown, no interception performance. Dallas couldn't stop the rushing attack. They were completely one-dimensional on offense. And at the end of the day, I keep saying it, when you lose 2 playoff games to this team back-to-back, to put forth this type of effort and get absolutely boat raced by 32 points, not a good look for Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys.
Certainly not, Joe. Again, they looked stagnant on offense. Dak Prescott, 3 interceptions for a guy, Joe, that was tied for the league lead around the NFL. year with 15 INTs. He only played 12 regular season games. You look to your quarterback in the biggest spots. He did not deliver on Sunday Night Football in Santa Clara. But on the other side, Brock Purdy certainly has. 17 of 24, Joe, for 252 yards and 4 touchdowns. 3 of those 4 touchdowns, the Seahawk connection prolific once more, finding his tight end, George Kittle. Joe, there's a lot of talk about Brock Purdy being a system quarterback. He is the beneficiary of being in Kyle Shanahan's offensive mastermind of a system with Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle around him. All he has to do is get the football out, and they're going to make the most of it. And Joe, I think to a certain extent, obviously, he is the benefit of playing in Kyle Shanahan's system, which is a positive for any quarterback that would step up into that stage. But Brock Purdy, Joe, continuously makes the correct decision on every single play. He is one of two quarterbacks this year that has started every game for his team and has not thrown an INT so far, along with the rookie in Houston, C.J. Stroud. A passer rating that last night, Joe, that was nearly perfect at 144.4. Brock Purdy has been the most efficient quarterback so far this year in the NFL, and I think, Joe, he's not just a benefit of the system, he is making this system go, as San Francisco has scored at least 30 points in all 5 of their victories.
Yeah, he's proved that he's deserving of the starting job, right? There was some concern about entering the season, you know, not just in terms of the elbow and everything he dealt with, but, you know, was he that type of player? But now, looking at the body of work, looking at how he pushes the football up the field, look at how he distributed it yesterday. Yes, Kittle had the 3 touchdowns, but he distributed it to absolutely every level of the offense, which shows that he goes through his reads. He understands when he has to check it down, and he puts his team in a position to win ball games, and he is the leader too. He has now become the leader of that offense. Even though we have Christian McCaffrey and all the stars, they look to Brock Purdy to lead this team, and he's showcased it, and they are going to be a very difficult out. I still put, and as dominant as this game was, I still put the Eagles and 49ers 1-1 and 1A right there, because I think the Eagles defensive front can carry them just as much. And Jalen Hurts, as we know, already played in the Super Bowl. But we're talking about the two best teams potentially in the NFL right now.
Listen, in terms of on-field performances this year, San Francisco has been more impressive than Philadelphia, but there's two remaining undefeated teams in the NFL, and they're both in the NFC, and they both faced off last year in that conference championship game at the Link in Philly, because the Birds, Joe, just keep winning football games. 5-0 as they go to Los Angeles yesterday, win as a 4.5-point favorite, and cover 23-14. Maybe not as impressive an overall margin and box score like San Francisco, who is 4-0-1 against the spread, but Philadelphia, Joe, still 3-1-1 against the number, and like the Niners, a perfect 5-0 to start this year.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, and I keep banging this drum, is the front seven. They held L.A. to 54 rushing yards, you know, less than 4 yards per carry. They're averaging well under 75 rushing yards per game from a rushing defense standpoint. That is huge, Ben, because now all you're doing is you're putting teams into long, predictable third downs. They could get quarterback pressures and sacks, and that's why I still think they're one of the top teams. And in the playoff type of scenario, for me, even though San Fran has done it up until this point, I still go to the veteran, Jalen Hurts. I go to that defense because they played lights out. And let's not forget, that L.A. Ram team got Cooper Kupp back, and they're a lot better than what people thought at the start of the year.
No doubt about it. And Cooper Kupp looked good in his first action since the middle of last year. 8 grabs on 12 targets, 118 yards. Joe, there was some conversation. What would that do for the Puka Nacua numbers after a historic start to the first four games, of his NFL career? Yesterday, still really productive as well. 7 grabs, 11 targets, 71 yards, and a touchdown. That Philly defense did sack Matthew Stafford 4 times. And Jalen Hurts, Joe, for a second consecutive week, throws for more than 300 yards. He also was the leading rusher for the Birds yesterday, 72 yards and a touchdown. An MVP candidate for sure. We'll go all around the NFL and the Sunday slate next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin. I am Ben Stevens. All right, Lisi guy, let's continue going around the NFL week number 5 and that Sunday slate. Lisi, as you look at some of the big scores that we saw, it started early across the pond in London between Jacksonville and Buffalo. Joe, the Jaguars this year, 1-2 in the United States of America. But abroad, they are 2-0 in England. A big victory yesterday for the Jags, 25-20 outright as a 5.5-point underdog against the Buffalo Bills. And maybe the best offensive performance, Joe, we've seen out of Jacksonville so far this season.
Yeah, and they were able to run it. They didn't get going early. They still continue with the run. Travis Etienne pounds the rock for 136 yards on the day, 4.9 yards per carry as a team. But they jumped up early. It was critical that Jacksonville jumps up in terms of the first drive that they have, right? They score the touchdown. They go for the 2 points. They kick the field goal. They're up 11 and put all the pressure on Josh Allen. I was very impressed with the offensive line effort by Jacksonville. But how about the secondary? The secondary, I mean, and they forced Josh Allen into mistakes, bad throws. They didn't give up a lot of chunk plays until late in the second half. And that was a dominant offensive line and secondary effort by the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday.
Yeah, I completely agree, Joe. A really big day for Jacksonville. And that's all you can ask for, right? To win the games that you need. Now they're 3-2. They're back to an odds-on favorite, minus 130, Joe, in the AFC South. But adding injury to insult, we saw Matt Milano, the all-pro linebacker last year for Buffalo, one of the anchors of that defense, go down with a bad injury, Joe. We talked to Dr. David Chow on the early line earlier this morning. He said he expects Milano to miss a substantial amount of time. And Joe, we were ready to crown the Buffalo Bills as a true front runner once again in the AFC. Now they're 3-2, and they are not in the lead in their division. In fact, they are not one of the two 4-1 teams remaining in the AFC. But the team that's in first in the AFC East in the same division with Buffalo, the Miami Dolphins, are one of those two 4-1 teams, Joe, after 5 weeks. The Dolphins were an 11.5-point favorite, Lisi guy, against the New York Giants on Sunday in South Florida. We expected Miami to win that football game probably pretty comfortably. But, you know, 11.5, Joe, in a National Football League game is a lot to lay. Well, the Dolphins covered as an 11.5-point favorite, winning by 15, 31-16. Despite the fact Tua threw two interceptions, he threw two touchdowns and had 308 passing yards. Tyreek Hill had over 180 receiving yards and a couple of scores. And Devon Achane, Joe, the guy out of Texas A&M, the rookie running back for Miami, continues to be a big play threat. The Miami offense scores 31 points. The New York Giants offense only scores 9. They did have a defensive pick 6 touchdown, which was their first score in the first half, or their first touchdown in the first half so far this season, Joe, but a dominant performance out of the Dolphins.
It was, and I was very impressed in terms of just the speed. We know that they have speed, but how they utilize it, right? With motion, they get HN out in space. They get Tyreek Hill out in space, Waddle, and they challenge opposing defenses at every level. They just stress you, and you can't play man-to-man in any type of capacity unless you have a guy that can run a 4.240, which is very rare in terms of most secondaries right now. Here's the thing, though. The rushing attack pounds it for 222 on the ground. Tua moves it through the air but struggles a little bit in terms of red zone opportunities. Obviously, that was a bad look with the pick six. They need to clean that up. But they, the only team they can't beat in the AFC seems to be the Buffalo Bills. I would put the Dolphins up with everybody right now. Are they the best team in the division? Yes. Can, if a playoff game right here, right now, happen with the Buffalo Bills, that's the one thing I think I struggle with, is the mindset, knowing that they can beat a team like Buffalo, especially, you know, in a road type of environment.
Yeah, no doubt about it, right? That's going to be the next test for Miami. They had Buffalo on the road 2 weeks ago. The Bills looked like the dominant side, 48-20, a four-touchdown difference. Miami will have their opportunity back at home, week number 18 of the year, hosting the Bills in a game that could decide the division, could be incredibly important for postseason position in the AFC. But right now, Joe, the Dolphins and the Bills, both 5-1, plus 500 to win the AFC championship. The Chiefs half that price at +250. Speaking of Kansas City, Joe, they go on the road to Minnesota. Travis Kelce injured at the end of the opening half, comes back and has the game-sealing touchdown grab for KC. They win 27-20 over Minnesota, covering as a short 3.5-point favorite. And Joe, we saw this line work against Kansas City by multiple points throughout the week, not because of an injury or somebody being questionable, just because people thought Minnesota would keep this game more competitive. Joe, the Vikings last year, a 13-win football team, 11-0 in single-score games. This year, a 1-4 football team, 1-4 in single-score games. The Chiefs, 4-1, Lisa guy. Maybe hasn't been the most impressive performances we have seen out of Kansas City in years past, but the Chiefs still tie for the best record in their conference.
Yeah, they grind you out, excuse me, in regards to how they beat the Minnesota Vikings. You know, it just seems like, okay, when we have to turn it on and we need a touchdown, Mahomes could just turn the light switch at any given moment. 281, two touchdowns. Kelce in back-to-back weeks has been held to 67 and 60 yards respectively. So it's teams are shutting him down. He's not getting those big chunk plays anymore, and they're still finding ways to win ball games. And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, it comes down to quarterback pressures, stuffing the run, and getting teams into predictable third downs. And that's exactly what they did. They held Minnesota to 6 of 14 on third down conversions. I mean, that's a great effort. And at the end of the day, I still think they're right there in terms of the best team in the AFC. I would put KC and then a drop-off. You could put a handful of teams. I probably would put Miami now after that performance yesterday right behind them. But they're the Super Bowl champs for a reason. And, Ben, the biggest thing, too, is undefeated on the road now. You know, good teams win at home, great teams win on the road, and that's what KC does.
Yeah, absolutely so. They're not perfect against the number on the road, but booked as a favorite in all of those games, they are 2-1 against the spread. So, Lisi, guys, we go elsewhere in the AFC. A critical game in Pittsburgh yesterday, a divisional duel between the Steelers and the Ravens. And as we know, in these games, they're going to be close, they're going to be competitive, and it's going to come down to the wire. That's what happened yesterday, Joe. The Pittsburgh Steelers, once again, winning outright as an underdog under Mike Tomlin. 17-10. Joe, Pittsburgh scored the only points in the second half. In fact, it was 14 of them unanswered in the fourth quarter. But you think 14 in football, you think, all right, two touchdowns, two extra points. Not the case. A safety on a blocked punt that went out of the end zone, two field goals, and a touchdown toss from Pickett to Pickens with a missed two-point conversion attempt on the other side of that, Joe. So two field goals, a safety, and a touchdown with a failed two-point conversion. The 14 points Pittsburgh scored in the fourth quarter to come back and take that football game from Baltimore.
Yeah, and in the series, all you got to do in terms of that series is take the points blindly with the underdog. They seem to cover that line no matter what. That was a dominant defensive effort by Pittsburgh. Think about this, too. They only averaged 2.9 yards per rush. They rushed it 30 times for 87 yards. Amazing effort in terms of how they were able to grind out that victory against Lamar Jackson and Baltimore. It's a story of two teams right now. Pittsburgh finds a way, and Baltimore, no matter how many weapons, how much upside, how much optimism, always seems to fall short with Lamar Jackson at the helm now. Doesn't it, Ben? It's amazing.
Yeah, right I now. Mean, a really costly interception thrown by Lamar late in that football game. After Pittsburgh fumbled a punt, Baltimore had it deep inside the Steelers' territory, looking to put the game on ice. Lamar threw a fade route to a slightly banged up Odell Beckham Jr. on the inside, and the rookie out of Penn State, Joey Porter Jr., went up and snagged it for an interception. And then on that ensuing possession, Pittsburgh comes down and scores. Lisi, it was a crazy ending to a game that will break down continuously next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So, Lisi guy, just to tidy up the huge AFC North showdown we saw yesterday in Pittsburgh, the Steelers score all 14 points in the second half, all 14 of them coming in the fourth quarter to come back and steal one against the flock, 17-10. Now this is year number 17, Joe, under Mike Tomlin. The Steelers in that time as an underdog, 54-31-5 against the spread, a ridiculous cover percentage. They are also 45-45 straight up, which to me, Joe, is the more impressive thing. They are an even 500 in the games they are expected to lose outright. And at home as an underdog, 17-5-3 ATS under Tomlin, 15 of those 17, including yesterday, an outright victory. Somehow, some way, Joe, the Pittsburgh Steelers continue to get it done. The edge rushing duo of Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt on full display against the flock yesterday. And now, Joe, both Baltimore and Pittsburgh tied atop the AFC North Division, both a 3-2 record.
Yeah, I feel like Mike Tomlin gets more with less than John Harbaugh in Baltimore, right? And that's what really separates these two teams in terms of, you know, big picture, which team looks good, which team looks bad. Now, you want to see Kenny Pickett and that offense develop, but only 222 yards. It was a grinded out, low-scoring game. He throws the critical touchdown. They're going to need the rushing attack, you know, and that is the biggest thing, I think, and the most surprising, because we know that Tomlin builds up the offense and defense lines under his tenure there, and this is still a weak point for this team. But Mike Tomlin, I mean, you can't argue. I mean, Super Bowl champion. I mean, definitely a Hall of Fame coach, and just coaches talent up. He's a great evaluator of talent, you know, recognizing players in college that fit their scheme in terms of the NFL, and a number of different college stars have gone there, including TJ Watt and Highsmith, and just dominate, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
3-2 for Pittsburgh. 3-2 for Baltimore. Cleveland had the bye. They are 2-2 this year. And Joe, elsewhere in the AFC North, did Cincinnati save its season yesterday on the road in the desert? The Bengals hammered the Cardinals 34-20, covering easily as a 3-point road favorite. And finally, Joe, the offense looked like what we hoped it would this year. Joe Burrow throws for 317 yards, 190 of them plus to Ja'Marr Chase. He had three touchdown tosses, did Burrow. All three of them go to Ja'Marr Chase. Joe, when you call out the offense and you say, I'm always open, I'm always effing open, you got to have a big performance the next week. Ja'Marr Chase did. 15 grabs, a 192 through the air, and three touchdown receptions. Is Cincinnati back, Joe Lisi?
I think they are. You know, that's exactly what you wanted to see out of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Burrow came out all week and said he felt the best he's ever felt. He backed it up with his play on the field. You mentioned that. Did have one interception, but he was pushing the ball down the field, and that's what you want to see. And now this defense came to play yesterday as well. I mean, holding Arizona to 20 points, they completely shut down Josh Dobbs and that passing attack. They forced him to work down the field, and when you're playing with a lead, it certainly helps. But Cincinnati, to me, is still a lethal team. They need to win a couple of more of these to get back up over 500. And then, you know, then I'm buying in. I'm still buying in here, Ben. You know, big picture, I think this is an AFC championship caliber team, but you still want to see it consecutive with Joe Burrow in that offense right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You got to see that health continue to progress for Joe Burrow. But, Joe, last year the Bengals started 0-2. This year they started 0-2. Both of the teams last year and this year got a win week number 3. The difference last year, Joe, they also won week number 4 2 straight. So a little bit of the waters were calm, but they did lose week number 5 to fall to 2-3. This year, Joe, they lost week 4. Everybody's like, oh, their season's over. They got blown out by the Titans 27-3, got run up and down that day with an offense that looks stagnant and stale and miserable, frankly. But then they come back and win week number five, looking really good. 2-3, Joe, through 5 weeks, each of the past two seasons for the Bengals. Now, it's a really tall order for Cincinnati to replicate what they did last year, winning 11 of their final 12 games, 8 in a row to end out the year. But this team does have experience in doing those sorts of things. Joe, when you look at the AFC North, Baltimore remains the favorite as of right now, but it was minus 150 for the Ravens entering the weekend. Now it's plus 110. All right, Lisi, elsewhere around the NFL, the Denver Broncos are an unmitigated disaster. The Denver Broncos, Joe, might be one of the worst franchises I have seen based on execution in the offseason and what that has led to the team actually performing like on the football field in the last 2 years. The Denver Broncos, Joe, in a game where they talked a lot of talk, mainly their head man in the Mile High City, Sean Payton, lose outright at home against the New York Jets and Zach Wilson. The Jets win as a 2.5-point underdog, 31-21. Joe, this game had so much at stake, right? Each of these teams trying to avoid a 1-4 start. Denver trying to avoid an 0-3 start at home, where they were booked as a favorite in all three games in Mile High. And Joe, for the Denver Broncos and mainly Sean Payton, after calling out Nathaniel Hackett, the coach last year in Denver who was fired after 15 games, of course the OC now in New York, Sean Payton over the summer saying Nathaniel Hackett did one of the worst coaching jobs in NFL history in 2022 for the Broncos. You got to go out there and win the football game, right, against the New York Jets. Wrong. The Denver Broncos lost, Joe, 31-21. They are 1-4 this year with their only victory hapless over the Chicago Bears, not because of anything that they did well, but because of coaching malpractice on behalf of Matt Eberflus. It is a disaster in Denver. They should tear it all down and try to build it back up. But Russell Wilson shouldn't be there, and maybe Sean Payton shouldn't be as well.
Yeah, come on, Broncos country, let's ride. That was a great effort yesterday. Let me just say this. You know, Russell Wilson throws for 196 yards. He has the critical sack fumble that changes the whole complexity as well. This defense for the New York Jets is legit. And that was the breakdown going into that game yesterday. Everybody wanted to talk all about Zach Wilson, his performance on the road. And I said, as long as the rushing attack was there with Breece Hall, they would be just fine. This defense would find a way to force some turnovers and grind out that victory. And that's absolutely what they did. I mean, Breece Hall with a 100-yard performance. The Jets rushed for 177 yards on the evening. I mean, over 4 yards per carry. They put Zach Wilson into manageable third downs, and that secondary just locked down Russell Wilson. There were no chunk plays over the top. There were no big passes. Everything was dink and dunk, and that's how they won it. And you know what? Sean Payton being now 1-4 in terms of this resume, I said it time again, the team is going to implode because the players in that locker room don't respect their quarterback. And now it's too late for Sean Payton because he should have went in there with that type of mindset in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely so. But, Joe, when you think about what Denver gave up to have Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback and Sean Payton as their head coach, it is maybe insurmountable. It is going to set the franchise back for multiple years. 3 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks, a 5th-round draft pick, really good players that are having success elsewhere, mainly Noah Fant in Seattle. On top of that, Joe, a 5-year, $245 million contract extension for Russell Wilson with $165 mil guaranteed and a 5-year deal reportedly worth $100 million for Sean Payton. All to be a 1-4 football team with their only win over the Chicago Bears, having won just 6 times, Joe, in their last 22 games. Unmitigated disaster is too kind to the Denver Broncos. Calling the Denver Broncos an unmitigated disaster is rude to the term unmitigated disaster. This Broncos team, Joe, I don't even know what the proper word is, but it's as bad as it gets, and they only have to look at the mirror in themselves, Joe, for that area of finding blame. It is terrible in Denver, and good for Nathaniel Hackett, and good for Robert Saleh, and good for Zach Wilson, who threw what could have been a costly interception once again at the end of the game to get a victory in Mile High yesterday. The New York Jets 2-3, the Denver Broncos 1-4. Elsewhere, Joe, the Detroit Lions, a 4-1 football team, 42-24, the victory for Detroit over the Carolina Panthers at home, and Bryce Young yesterday. But the Lions, I mean, Joe, this was the expectation, right? A favorite in the NFC North, favored to win a lot of football games. The Lions were a double-digit favorite, laying 10.5 at home. They cover, winning by 42-24, being that final margin.
Yeah, amazing. And no Jahmyr Gibbs in that ball game, and they still found a way with David Montgomery to just rush for over 150 yards, 5.3 yards per carry. And Goff, all he does is throw touchdowns. Three touchdowns, yeah. Over 200 yards, no interceptions. Josh Reynolds is like rejuvenated, like he's back playing in College Station. It's amazing. Like, they're getting more out of a lot of players. And your guy, Sam Laporta, stepped up as well. Yeah, another three catch performance. They're just playing very disciplined football, and when you can run the football, you have a confident quarterback in Jared Goff. This is not his first rodeo, right? We saw this with Jared Goff when he led the Rams to the Super Bowl. He's efficient, and he's putting his team in positions to win ball games, but not only that, score points. I mean, dynamic effort yet again out of their star quarterback.
No doubt about it. Sam Laporta, the young rookie tight end out of Iowa, which is tight end U, T-E-U, if you get my gist here, Joe, had three grabs, 47 yards, and two touchdowns. George Kittle backed that up with three more on Sunday Night Football. A few more games to get to here as we recap Sunday around the NFL. A couple of quick thoughts on Monday Night Football, then we turn our attention to the college football Saturday slate in all of the wild and chaotic nature, Joe, that we saw on Saturday. More to come here on FFC. A few more minutes on the NFL and then college football the rest of the way. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back here on FFC. Joe, entering week number 5 of the NFL season, all four teams in the AFC South were 2-2 to start off the opening month. The Jags won on Sunday. The Colts won on Sunday. The Titans lost because they played Indianapolis in Indy. And the Texans were oh so close, Joe, from also being 3-2, pulling off the slight upset in Atlanta. But the Falcons did hold out to win that football game 21-19. Joe, let's start in Indianapolis, where Anthony Richardson suffered a grade 3 AC sprain to his right throwing shoulder. He was out of the game early, expected to miss a decent amount of time, at least 4 weeks, but Gardner Minshew is a reliable backup to have, and Gardner Minshew, Joe, performed in a big way against the Titans on Sunday to lead the Colts to a 23-16 victory. And again, Indianapolis is off to a 3-2 start. 11-14, Joe, for Minshew in that game, coming in the second quarter, 155 yards, and Indianapolis wins its third game of the year.
Yeah, and they got Zach Moss to bounce back like he was playing for the Utah Utes and Kyle Whittingham. It's amazing. Yeah. 160-yard performance. I'm more down, and let me just break this down. Entering that game yesterday, Indianapolis was terrible against the run. Kyren Williams rushed for over 100 the week prior in terms of the 29-23 game. You thought you were going to see a heavy dose of Derrick Henry. He rushes it 11 times for 47 yards. I mean, it's amazing. The offensive approach by Tennessee entering that ballgame. Gardner Minshew potentially is the best backup in football. I mean, it used to be Huntley for Baltimore. Now I think it's Gardner Minshew because he's pulled two games now out back-to-back, Baltimore and this one against Tennessee. And yeah. You know what? You know, if he has to go the rest of the way for a while, they're a playoff contender, Ben.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson has been good. It's just he's been a little bit banged up now in his rookie campaign. Concussion protocol after week number two. Started week number four. They came back all the way against the Rams before L.A. won it in overtime. But again, the reliability of Gardner Minshew on full display. This Colts team now in a tie for the top spot in the division. The Texans, Joe, almost winning outright on the road in Atlanta. It was a 1.5-point line. The Dirty Birds win by 2, 21-19. Scoring 14 points in that fourth quarter. Joe, C.J. Stroud, though, 20 of 35, 249 yards, and a touchdown. He has still not thrown an interception this year. That is an NFL record because when you look at Stroud overall, 186 pass attempts, Joe, not a single INT, a new record for rookie quarterbacks to start off their NFL careers. But Atlanta does get a victory behind a good day from Desmond Ridder. He throws for over 300 yards for the first time in his career.
Yeah, he showed that he can lead this team. That's what you want to see if you're an Atlanta Falcon fan. I mean, over 300 yards, the touchdown, he gets the football distributed to Drake London and Kyle Pitts, your two big players. Yep. They combined for 13 receptions yesterday, Ben, over 150 yards. So if that's the way he's going to play, then yeah, Des Ridder can lead this team. We need to see that type of consistency. We see more consistency out of C.J. Stroud right now in terms of the quarterback position than Des Ridder. He's got high highs and low lows. Now he needs to weed it out and play back-to-back, you know, consistent games. And, you know, then Atlanta will be back to being the media darling and potentially a wild card player. I don't think they win the division, though, Ben.
Yeah. The AFC South, an interesting division. Two teams at 3-2, two teams at 2-3. The NFC South, also interesting. The Bucs had the bye. They're 3-1. The Falcons and the Saints both get a win on Sunday, now 3-2. The Panthers remain the only winless team in the National Football League with an 0-5. Joe, let's talk about Monday Night Football before we transition to college football and look back on the Saturday slate. Monday night in the desert in Las Vegas. It's the Raiders hosting the Packers. It's a 1.5-point spread in favor of Las Vegas and over under at 45.5. Now 2.5, by the way, in favor of Las Vegas as the line starts to move here on this Monday. Joe, what are your thoughts for Monday Night Football between the Raiders and the Pack?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the points with the Packers, and this comes down to I understand they have the better quarterback in regards to Jimmy Garoppolo, but again, I'm not a buyer of Josh McDaniels. Again, I put him in there with the Sean Payton Denver team, put him in there with a couple others like Bill Belichick, one-dimensional, and I can't buy into the Raiders laying 2.5. I do feel that the Packers can run on the front seven of Las Vegas here. I think they'll get some Aaron Jones, a little A.J. Dillon, and don't count out Jordan Love. So I like Aaron Jones over the 47.5, and I like Dillon over the 25.5 tonight, but I'm taking the Pack on the road.
Yeah, me as well. I'm not loving this line movement. Maybe that has to do with Aaron Jones. A couple of questionable injury reports entering this football game. Aaron Jones and Jair Alexander, but Alexander expected to play a big game, of course, against Davante Adams, facing his former team for the first time. Speaking of Devontae, he's expected to play tonight as well, despite dealing with a shoulder injury. So I'm not entirely sure why this line is moving, but I still don't believe the right side is favored. I don't know how you look at the Raiders so far this year and expect them to be the better football team in this matchup. The last time we saw the Packers, I know it was disappointing, two Thursday nights ago now at home against Detroit, but in the first 3 weeks, there was something to hang your hat on for Green Bay. There's going to be some high highs and some low lows this year, the first year post Aaron Rodgers. Again, Joe, I don't think the right side is favored. I'd take the Packers with 2.5. I'd look at them on the money line, of course, and my favorite bet of tonight, Jaden Reed over 34.5 receiving yards. The rookie wideout out of Michigan State for Green Bay. He has gone over this number, Joe, in all four of his NFL career games. He's averaging better than 50 yards per game receiving. We've seen an uptick in production the last few weeks as well. 55 yards last week against Detroit, 63 the week prior for Green Bay against New Orleans. I look at Jaden Reed to have a big night. Joe, quickly on the total, I'm going under 45.5. I'm going Raiders team total under 23.5. They haven't broken broken the 20-point mark this year. What do you think, Lisa, got?
Yeah, I'm always inclined on a Monday night to take the over. What I find interesting is I think there will be 46, 47 points in this ballgame, Ben, but look at all the Green Bay players are in positive money for any time touchdown tonight, including Aaron Jones at plus 120, Dillon's 165. Yeah. Watson and Dobbs are two interesting looks at plus 210 and plus 240. The book is sort of indicating like they don't believe the Green Bay is going to score much, or this potentially would lean to an under, but I'm going contrarian. I'm taking over tonight.
Yeah, okay. I don't mind the look, Lisa guy. Hopefully more points for the Packers than that for the Raiders. All right, that does it for NFL for us. Now we turn our attention to college football. Joe, only one place to start. The Red River rivalry on Saturday at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. It was one of the best games of the weekend entering, Joe. The first time both of these teams, Oklahoma and Texas, entered this annual rivalry showdown early in October. Both undefeated in this football game since 2011, and it lived up to any of the pre-game hype. 34-30, Oklahoma wins outright, Joe, as a 4.5-point underdog. This Red River rivalry had all the Red River you could ever expect. Two interceptions early for Texas thrown by Quinn Ewers, but a blocked punt that led to a touchdown for the Longhorns in the first 6 minutes of the football game. Quinn Ewers responds for Texas. He plays a great game, only for Dylan Gabriel to have the final winning hand. A 5-play, 75-yard, minute and 4-second drive, Joe, as he throws a 3-yard touchdown toss to Nick Anderson with only 15 ticks left on the clock for Oklahoma's winning score, 34-30. Joe, as great of a college football game as you could ask for, and that's why we love the sport of college football. The pageantry, the tradition, the rivalry that is the Red River Showdown between Oklahoma and Texas, all on full display in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas on Saturday.
Yeah, it's just everything that encompasses college football, to your point. But Dylan Gabriel did not play in this game last year. And to have that final drive to knock off your arch rival, and not only that, now they are definitely a contender for the college football playoff. They are front runners now in the Big 12. Their last season, I was very impressed in terms of the way they forced turnovers early. Brett Venables has done a fantastic job in terms of transforming this defense. Let's not forget, defense was one of the worst in Oklahoma history, and he has turned it around in just 1 year. And Dylan Gabriel, you saw the press conference. He was very emotional. He's now a Heisman contender as well, and the kid was one of the best in regards to UCF when he was there. Just an amazing output, an amazing game. And again, is it the same old Texas? I guess time will tell.
285 passing yards for Gabriel. Was Oklahoma's leading rusher as well, with 113 on the ground. He had a rushing score and a passing touchdown. He's 12-1, Joe, to win the Heisman Trophy. Personally, I think the price should be a little bit shorter than that right now. They just opened up the conference odds once again, Lisa guy. Texas entered the Red River rivalry as a minus 130 favorite to win the Big 12. Texas remains the favorite at plus 105 despite losing the game to Oklahoma. OU, the second best price at plus 130. I find that surprising, Joe, because although these two teams might meet again in Arlington that opening weekend in December at the Big 12 championship game, and it would just be the winner of that football game, Oklahoma has a much better path at this point to be in the football game than that of Texas. Texas has no margin of error. Oklahoma still does, and they would have the head-to-head tiebreaker against Texas should it come down to that at any point this season. Joe, I find it surprising. Texas remains the favorite to win the Big 12.
Yeah, well, it's perception, too. You get the victory over Alabama and Nick Saban, hand them their second loss in 7 years at home. That carries some weight, and the fact that Alabama's bounced back, they get a gutty win over Texas A&M. It's all about perception, right? I agree with you. I don't think that Texas is deserving of being the front runners from the odds perspective. The eye test just doesn't cut it, but they can potentially get there if they bounce back and run the table. It's going to be difficult. Because they have to play Texas Tech. That's at the end of the year. That got them last year. It's in Austin, but Tech is now bounced back as well. There's a number of different teams on their schedule that could knock off Texas the way they're playing from a defensive perspective right now.
Yeah, overall this year, the Big 12 is not great. Kansas State, we expected to be that third team, the third best price. K-State has a lot to be desired. West Virginia has looked good at times this year. Kansas, 5-1. If Jalen Daniels can be healthy, are they a true contender? For me, though, Luisi guy, I think it's those top two teams, and I expect to see both of them in that Big 12 championship game that first Saturday in December. I would just give Oklahoma the nod as of right now to win the Big 12 championship, but it's not just reaching the Big 12 championship. It's winning that championship game that is incorporated in these prices. Luisi guy, elsewhere around college football, Georgia and Michigan, the top two teams in the country, look that part. Georgia routes Kentucky in between the hedges, Luisi guy, as you predicted, easily covering as a 14.5-point favorite. 51-13, the final in favor of the Dogs. The first cover this year, Joe, for UGA.
Yeah, the front seven shut down Ray Davis and put on the ball game on Devin Leary, just like we talked about on College Football Today. And another underrated quarterback, Carson Beck, threw for 290 in the first half, Ben. Dominant effort by the Bulldogs.
300 in three straight games, at least for Carson Beck. And the recipient has been Brock Bowers, at least 125 receiving yards in those three consecutive wins for Georgia. Michigan wins the Little Brown Jug over Minnesota in a dominant effort, 52-10, covering as an 18.5-point favorite as well. One final thought on the college football weekend. Big chest, it's your time to answer. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Joe Lisi, if you went to bed early on a Saturday night, you probably missed some of the more wild college football games of week six and maybe the entirety of the season. First, Joe, USC needs three overtimes to avoid a huge upset against Arizona, but the Trojans do prevail 43-41, but come nowhere close to covering as a 21.5-point favorite at home in the LA Memorial Coliseum. Goodness gracious, whatever dirt Alex Grinch has on Lincoln Riley might be the best thing in the world, because that's the only way he can continue to be the defensive coordinator for USC. Elsewhere, Joe, I think the biggest game that we'll look back on for week number six, Miami and Georgia Tech. The Hurricanes, Joe, had a 3-point lead up with 5.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter after forcing Georgia Tech to go three and out and punt the football back. They picked up a couple of first downs, run it down. Georgia Tech takes their last time out, Joe, with 1:17 in the fourth quarter. It's second down for Miami. They can kneel the football out and win the football game. Instead, they decide to run it. Donald Chaney Jr. fumbles the football, and Georgia Tech has 4 plays and 74 yards with just about 25 seconds remaining to come back and beat Miami, ending the Canes' perfect season. Joe, you talk a lot about Mario Big Chess Cristobal, one of the dumbest coaching decisions you will ever find, almost laughable, and that's the irony of it, of how dumb this decision was. Joe, the victory formation is everybody's favorite play in football, apparently not Cristobal's.
Yeah, and I could say, like, you try to rationalize it. They weren't even trying to cover a number. So, I mean, the spread was 20.5. What are you doing, Mario? And then the breakdowns defensively. The kid's wide open in the end zone. I mean, wide open, cutting across. It's amazing. Amazing.
Listen, a comedy of errors, right? A comedy of errors. To have to even fumble the football is one thing, but to put your player in that position when you could have taken out all of the variables and just taken a knee for a perfect 5-0 start to then go play North Carolina the following week in a battle of unbeatens for the second-best team in the ACC. Hey, good thing that guy can recruit in Miami. Joe Lisi, Ben Stevens, that does it for Football Full Circle. We'll talk to you tomorrow.